Welcome, everybody, to Reds Ramblings. I have with me today Natasha from the Bahamas. She's been all over the world, a lot more than me. I've never left my country. She's lived in China. She's lived in Dubai and visited other places as well. So, Natasha, go ahead. Tell a little bit about yourself.
Hey, everybody listening. Hope you guys are good. So, like you said, my name is Natasha from the Bahamas. Born and raised here, spent a little bit of time in your country, Jamie. I lived in the U.S. for 6 years, actually. Okay. I did my undergrad in Miami, did my MBA in Georgia, so I know a little bit about the U.S. So I lived in Orlando for a year, did some work there, and after that, then moved across the way to Dubai. Lived in Dubai for 3 years, amazing experience. Fun fact for all you listeners, Dubai has more than just Arabs. There is like every culture you can imagine there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I went to Dubai and came back, a lot of my friends from the U.S. and from the Bahamas were like, oh, so how's Middle Eastern culture? I was like, I know a little bit about that, but let me tell you about Russian culture. Did you know about the Lankans? You know what I mean? So love Dubai. Like, I'm a culture fanatic. So having those people, having so many different cultures there, I was just like kid in the candy store. So that was awesome. And then after that, I wanted to go even further into Asian culture. And then, you know, China is like another world totally. So did that for 2 years, which was awesome. Completely different because it's like I'm immersed in Chinese culture. So that was great. And then came back home. Now I'm working with my mom and her travel company. And I started Mind Pro Travel as well. And that's me in a nutshell.
All right. Well, you've experienced a lot more than I have. I mean, I talk to people from all over the place, but I've yet to step foot in any of these places I've spoken to.
But after this COVID stuff, that changes, right?
I've been getting a few offers, and some of the places I've spoken to, like I love Japan, and I spoke to a lady from over there who's originally from here as well. I was like, I got just even if it's for a vacation, I don't know if I want to live there. But I gotta like go there for a week or two, hopefully someday.
Yeah,
so that's the future. That's the plans, hopefully one day to go out and about and do all that kind of stuff.
There you go.
But so you live in Bahamas primarily. You got your own Mindfro Travel, right? So I'm assuming that's a travel agency, right?
Well, Mindfro Travel is actually more about cultural awareness. So that's where I help people that are on this like journey through cultural awareness, because I've been there where it's like, oh my gosh, I've heard that, you know, Arab men are going to be like this to me. And I believe that on my way to Dubai. And that, you know, that created stereotypes in my mind that I broke. Obviously, through travel, I was able to break that. But basically helping people that are on that same path where it's like, I don't know anything about this culture. All I know is what I hear, you know, on the news, or I read in this blog or this meme I see. Just helping them to walk through understanding culture on a deeper basis. That's that. The travel agency actually is my mom's baby that I came home to help her with. And it's 3Ns Vacation Services. So that's where we do tours and hotel. And if you want to get married tomorrow, we do that too.
I'm already married now, but hey, if my honeymoon. Wife wants to, like, I'm about to say, we haven't done our honeymoon yet. We were thinking Scotland. We probably are thinking Scotland, but if I ever go to Bahamas, I'm going to hit you and your mom up, definitely.
Call me, Jamie.
I got you. One of the funny things you mentioned about your Mindfro Travel is you like to, you know, break through the stereotypes that aren't necessarily correct and let people know that it's whether it be safer or that's not exactly what the thing is. That struck me because in looking into more stuff about the Bahamas, I was looking at a few like top 10 lists of facts and whatnot through YouTube, right? And a lot of I think 3 of the videos I watched had comments from the local Bahamians, right?
Is that that's Bahamians? That's correct.
Bahamians and were like, no, this isn't right. That, you know, if you step foot here, you would know this kind of stuff, blah, 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 which totally goes 100% into Mindfro Travel, because if I hadn't looked at those comments, I probably would have brought them up here with you and you would have corrected me on the spot. But so I was, after about three videos that had those comments throughout it, I finally just looked for one that was specifically, it was from somebody from the Bahamas.
There you go.
I was like, all right, this guy, he has to know his stuff. He's from there. And yeah. I picked up a few things. One thing that I want to ask, because this is how even I saw the Bahamas, my wife sees the Bahamas, and I'm sure a majority of everybody who knows about the Bahamas sees the Bahamas. And so I want to know if this is correct or not. I was coming across a type of trivial thing, really, that states that the Bahamas is not technically part of the Caribbean. Is that correct?
Yeah. So there's this is trivial, and I'm happy that you brought it up. This is a really good question. So basically, being a part of the Caribbean, quote, unquote, means that you're in the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah.
The Bahamas, technically and geographically, is outside of the Caribbean Sea. So by that fact, we are not Caribbean. That said, though, Jamie, I know you have a friend in Barbados, and you know that Caribbean culture.
Yes.
So whether you're coming from Jamaica or St. Lucia, Bahamas, Puerto Rico, wherever it is, there's that Caribbean culture that's like a red thread throughout the Caribbean. And by that fact, by, you know, our music, our the way we enjoy life, our openness, our laid backness, and, you know, that type of stuff, they overlap a lot, which makes us culturally Caribbean. Obviously, every country has their different, you know, awesome stuff. You know, maybe they don't eat as much conch in Jamaica as we do in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. We don't eat as much oxtail here as they do there, et cetera.
Yes.
But like, you know, that, I don't know, that vibe, that Caribbean vibe is something that we all share. So even though we may be like a few feet outside of the Caribbean Sea, we still have that same Caribbean culture. And we're also a part of CARICOM, which is the Caribbean community. So that's a long answer to your short question.
No, but yeah, like I'm glad I found that out, because again, growing up, we know of, you know, the Caribbean islands being huge for tourism, Bahamas, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, all of them, right? And we've all, I think majority of us, again, if you were to pull any American, anybody off the street and ask, hey, do you consider Bahamas part of the Caribbean? They're like, yeah, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's
Jamie,
just
even if you ask me, I say we're Caribbean. I consider myself a Caribbean person. Mm-hmm. But you ask somebody from another island, or even one of my cousins, and they will say, "No, we are not Caribbean." So it's
they
got to
take that
things.
Pride. Like they take pride, and
exactly.
I like how you said, though, you still got that Caribbean flavor, that style going through it, because that's one thing I have noticed. Between you and Barbados, y'all the only ones from that area that I've spoken to so far, right? And we're talking with Justin from the Barbados, a lot of festivals and everything they got going on. And one of the ones that you guys have, Junkanoo reminds me a lot of the stuff that me and him talked about for Barbados. So yeah, you could definitely see that cultural stylistic commonality between all the islands.
Exactly. Definitely.
But can you speak a little bit on Junkanoo and what exactly that is?
Yeah, sure. So Junkanoo is it's a festival of music. It's a festival of music, dance, and costume. So like you said, if people are familiar with the word carnival, it's not a carnival. And if I said that it was, like, so many Bahamian people would be under here like, no, it's not. Because it's not a carnival, but just to give people some context of what it is. In the same way that carnival, you have these really, really beautiful outfits.
Yes.
We also have these beautiful outfits, but it's not just like, you know, carnival is usually about the ladies wearing you know, very sexy attire. There are women in sexy attire, but the thing about Junkanoo is, like, it's all, like, completely handmade from boxes, like cardboard boxes from sponge, and then pasted on with feathers and stuff like that. And it's a competition between some groups, and they compete on their music, because it's all live music. There's the drums, there's trumpets, there's bass. Mm-hmm. All of this comes together to create that beautiful Caribbean sound. And they also compete on costume and theme, because each and every group has their theme, whether that theme is, you know, like Michael Jackson, or whether that theme is like ocean, and you're able to see the theme through the costumes, through the dance. Dance is another thing that they are, you know, competing on. You have free dancers that basically just, you know, go in the streets and dance, dance, dance. And then you have choreographed dancers where they like practice routines, and they work on this stuff for like 6 months, 8 months plus in order to compete in this competition. And it's just a festival of music, like I said, of costume. It's a celebration. So they are going through the streets. There's a certain area in the Bahamas. We have it on different islands, but the major one is in the capital in Nassau. And they basically block off streets for these groups to come in with their music, with their dancers, with their costumes, and just play music through the streets. And then they build stadiums on either side of the street so people can sit and listen. There's a walking path, so people are like with it walking alongside their favorite group and dancing. So it's just an amazing atmosphere. I love Junkanoo. Like, if you play a Junkanoo song right now, I'd probably be like bopping. It's my vibe. It's totally my vibe.
Yeah, that is one thing I always have to mention on anyone I speak with is everyone has some sort of festival. Obviously, you know, we have, you know, our New Year's stuff, Thanksgiving, parades and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have, they're pretty similar where it's some, you know, they're about tradition and culture. And you got all the singing, all the dance and the costumes, you know, some will make floats like parades.
Yeah.
Some have, like, I think in Liverpool, that when I spoke to two brothers from Liverpool, they build like gigantic puppets that are like two stories tall, and they walk them through, you know, the town squares or whatnot. And that's some of the coolest stuff to look at, is all the different variations of the same thing. It's a festival, you know, celebrating culture and heritage and all that kind of stuff. And it's always a wonderful thing to see, especially, like there's so much similarity, yet still keeping those hometown roots engraved in all of them. But I mean, what country, what culture, group of people doesn't love celebrating who they are, you know, getting out in the street, hollering, singing, right? Like, if there's that kind of people, that's the most boring place in the world.
Yeah, I've never met that.
At least one time in a year, just hollering, screaming, dancing, or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh, man, it's got to be a miserable place.
I don't want to visit there. That's not on my bucket list.
yeah. We've marked that one off. We ain't going there. So I mentioned before we got recording, you have a picture back there, if anyone can see it, or those who aren't watching. She has a picture in the back of some pigs in water. So in looking into some stuff of the Bahamas, I came across a picture of pigs in water. And I was like, what is this? Like, I'm from the state, so we have a few beaches, but I've never seen a pig at a beach. You know, pigs are at the farm. There's a whole beach dedicated essentially to these swimming pigs. What is that?
Well, Jamie, for those who can see right back here, you have just met the Kim Kardashian of the Bahamas. Basically, this is our local celebrity. Well, these are our local celebrities. No, seriously, like the swimming pigs, they became popular because people like the Kardashians, the Will Smith, like name a person, they've been here, they've seen it, they posted it on social media. And as you know now, social media is where it's at. If you post something, then the world knows. And then Miss America is here. So all of this happened, and the pigs have been there for years, like since I was younger. Yeah. But nobody knew about them. And now they're like I said, celebrities. People literally come to the Bahamas just to see these pigs. You know, for us, we do the swimming pigs tours from Staniel Key. And we've had people that are like Make-A-Wish Foundation come contact us. And we were able to take them on their wish, and their wish was to see the pigs.
Really?
So that is like, it's like amazing. And you have those experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of our guests come in from the U.S.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they're coming and they're like, you know, we've been saving up for this for so long. We just want to see the pigs. And, you know, they come to see the pigs. And then my area is called, it's Staniel Key. It's in the Exuma Keys. And the good thing about it is, you know, if you travel all the way from like New York or wherever to see just a pig for 30 minutes, it doesn't make sense. But when you come here, the swimming pigs, of course, is the main attraction. Mm-hmm. But then you have sunken planes, like Pablo Escobar's plane is a low wave up. And then you have the swimming with turtles. You have swimming with sharks. You have 007 for all those people out there who are James Bond fans. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a few caves that he filmed.
Yes, exactly. You know your stuff.
I know
you
a little bit.
You've definitely done your research, man. But yeah, and that is like literally right across from Pig Beach.
Okay.
Also, disclaimer, there is one original Pig Beach. It is in Exuma. It is called Big Majors. Because you might have noticed in your research that, you know, after this became so popular, what happens, Jamie, when something becomes popular?
Oh, tourists and everything come and ruin it.
Exactly. Mm. And then everybody else wants to do it. Because they say, oh, this place is making money. I want to make money too. So people start like getting pigs and putting them on all these different islands. So whenever you're booking your trip, guys, make sure you get the original swimming pigs, which is in Exuma. The Exuma Keys to be exact.
Yeah, I would imagine that's definitely the case. I mean, a few articles I read said the Bahama is made up of like 700 plus islands.
Yep.
And you got to think that's probably close to thousands of beaches. You can just throw some pigs on any beach, call it Pig Beach, and get those people that want to see some pigs. Because, yeah, I would imagine the original Pig Beach is steadily busy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can have easily a competitor over at a beach, you know, a few miles down the way. Like, well, I'll get some pigs now and get some of that too. Yeah.
And that's what happens. But the only thing that the thing that hurts me is for us, the pigs are part of our community. Mm-hmm. So for example, right now we don't have tourists, right? So all of us, like 3Ns and all of the other companies that usually do the swimming pig stores, we're making sure the pigs are fed and have water and all that type of stuff, because they're a part of our community. Mm-hmm. When people come and they try to pick up the piglets and they're squealing or, you know, doing something that's not good for the animals, we make sure to step in. But then when you have the people that are replicating, maybe they are not as careful. Some of them have their pigs in cages. And I'm just like, no, this is not what it's about. You know, this thing happened naturally. We didn't put them there and say, here's a magic wand, pig, you swim. What happened was, like, my grandfather's generation, we used to have pigs in Staniel Key on the island. And our island is 1 by 2 miles. Like, and there were, like, 3 pig pens. Yeah, it's super small. But then when you have 3 pig pens on an island so small, you can imagine how stinky the place gets. So they decided they're going to put the pigs on this island, and then when we get hungry, we'll go there and then bring them back. Yeah. So that was happening for a while, until once the pigs came out, while one of those people came to get them, the pigs swam out. And then some tourists saw. And then some more tourists were like, oh my God. And then it became a thing. So now, obviously, they're not bacon anymore. They're like family now.
Yes. I want to ask then, one of the things I was looking into that I like to read about is like folklores and like sea creatures, monsters. You know, we have Bigfoot and some other stuff, right? And we know the Kraken, because the Caribbean has a huge rich pirate history.
Yeah.
One of the things I came across, my wife loves octopus. That's like, she has an octopus lamp. We have octopus ornamental stuff everywhere, all over the house, right? But you guys have your own specialty type of sea creature, kind of like the Loch Ness over, I think it's in the UK where Loch Ness is. Luska.
Yeah, I haven't heard about Luska for a while.
Really?
You know what happens with folklores? Yeah, you know what happens with those sometimes? The Bahamas has to some extent become very Americanized, right? So what happens is, like, Luska and some of the other folklores, they weren't passed down. So if you ask, like, if I had a child and you asked them, they probably would not even know about it, because it's not even something that we talk about anymore, which sucks. You know, because we have so many nice old stories that grandma used to say and mom used to know, and we used to have all these like brown girl in the ring dances and all this type of stuff. But like, I'm looking at some of the kids now, even like the, you know, the patty cake type of stuff. and it's not happening anymore. It's like it's slowly dying out. You know,
yeah.
It's gonna be like a dodo bird in a second, JB.
Oh man. Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Well, do you know a little bit of the Luska? Do you remember, like, what do you remember?
Very little.
Very little.
The last time I heard about it, I was a child.
Well, I'll bring up a little bit because I was looking at some cool pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Says it's the Caribbean, part of the Caribbean. By the way, I want to get this out of the way. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean? How does it go down
there?
Depends
on who you ask. It's like, that's a tomato-tomato question.
Yes.
I had a feeling, like, my spidey senses told me that you're going to ask that. But, yeah, because of our accent, Bahamians mm-hmm. say Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But Caribbean is also accepted because I think that there are some Caribbean countries that say Caribbean. It's just yes. an accent thing.
Yeah, I think depending on how I'm using it in a sentence is how I go with it. I don't, there's not one, I'm like, it's this or that, you know? It's,
yeah.
It's how it's going to flow in whatever I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
So when I say, you know, the Caribbean folklore, that just seems odd to me. So I'll just say Caribbean folklore. It just flows better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So back to Luska, though, it says that some of the depictions of the Luska were like the head of a shark with the tentacles of an octopus. It was a multi-headed monster, a dragon-like creature, or some kind of evil spirit. It said it grows to about 75 feet. And, you know, like, y'all have a lot of sinkholes over there, like the big Dean Blue Hole, I think it is.
Yeah, the Blue Hole in Andres.
Yes, and with all the pirate lore from back in the day, you know, you can imagine shipwrecks and, you know, people back then, you know, being drunk and whatnot, as I'm sure they were back in the day. Water wasn't really as widely drank as it is now.
Yeah,
rum and all that was heavily consumed back then. So mm-hmm. I would imagine if a few ships or whatever got sunk, you know, so you had some drunk people that blamed it on, you know, sea creatures, the Kraken, the Luska.
Exactly.
Because y'all do have a lot of sharks down there as well. So with octopus being a creature that's out around there as well, with mm-hmm. some sharks,
mm-hmm.
it takes one drunk person to say he saw a shark-headed octopus.
I saw a sharktopus today.
Yeah, sharktopus. Oh, I'm pretty sure that's a sci-fi movie now that I think about it. You know, I guarantee you that's a shark movie. Oh, it's a sci-fi
probably
movie.
Probably right.
Oh, man, yeah. But, and yeah, like back then when you couldn't really – you know, look up stuff like we do today, you know, you just went off of word of mouth and, you know, they told stories in the bars and the pubs and whatnot at port. And that thing just grew and grew and grew. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a lot like, you know, like you say, you know, it was passed down back in the day through generation to generation, kind of like how the boogeyman was for us back in the day, more of like, I would assume like for the boogeyman here, it's like stay in bed, you know, probably mm-hmm. like, don't do anything bad or the boogeyman's going to get you, right?
Boogeyman is in the closet. Yeah.
Exactly. Boogeyman's going to get you in the closet if you act up or whatever. And I'm assuming with the Bahamas being so surrounded by all this water, it was probably also turned into, you know, like parents telling their kids, if you go to the beach after night, Luska's going to get you. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. I'm sure that played a part. Sometimes, you know, kids require a little bit of scaring to get them to act right sometimes, you know? This is the way it happens.
Yeah, it is. It is. And don't worry, we had the boogeyman too. I remember
really?
The boogeyman. Yep.
Like
I said, from then, we have a lot, like a lot of, even Bigfoot. I know more about Bigfoot than Luska. Crazy.
Really?
Yes.
Do y'all have a Bigfoot?
We don't have him, but we know him because
you know,
we're like basically a hop, skip, and a jump from Florida. Like, mm-hmm. did you know that from one island in the Bahamas called Bimini, you can see the Miami lights?
Really?
Yep. That's
how close. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm, and vice versa.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is nice. One thing I was looking at as well that caught me off guard is – because like you said, Bahamas and the Caribbean islands in general are huge tourist attractions. Easily, you know, the moneymaker by far, right? That
easily.
The Bahamas is technically the third largest economy in the Western Hemisphere in terms of, they call it the New World. So I'm guessing developed countries. behind, you know, the States and Canada, which blew my mind. Like, I walked into my wife was in the bathroom. I was like, babe, did you know that the Bahamas is the third biggest, you know, economy behind us and Canada? Like, what? I was like, yes. Because you think a little bitty island compared to, you know, the States and Canada has the third most money, you know. That's insane. So that just puts in perspective how much y'all rely on tourism, travel, and all that kind of stuff. That is so crazy.
Heavy. Let me tell you how heavy it is. But obviously, you know, like we were talking about before this, like right now, most of the country is out of work. Most of the country. And obviously, you know, like the front desk agents are out of work, the straw shop workers, the restauranteurs. But one of my cousins works at a jewelry store and she's out of work. So it's like, because who's buying the jewelry? The people that are coming in to you know, wine and dine their lovers, like Jamie is going to do when he comes to the Bahamas finally. You know?
I'm glad my wife's not listening to that right now. She'll listen to that early, like, where's my diamond?
But yeah, so like the people, everybody's hurting right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely sucks for everybody because a lot of the ones I've spoken to are heavy into tourism. Like I did one this morning from Cornwall, which is over in the UK, and they are huge. Like they have a lot of beaches as well. And it's a huge tourism attraction over there. And I mean, everybody, like you said, everybody's hurting.
Everybody's hurt.
Oh, what was that? What is that? I know that one.
It's everybody hurts, but I just switched to
sometimes.
There you go.
Don't judge me on my singing. It's garbage.
Oh no, don't judge me either. This is not a singing podcast. Okay,
yeah, exactly. Guys? You can't judge me about that. That's not what this is.
Exactly. But yes,
I know my tunes. I know my music.
There you go. So, your tune was right on track, by the way. It was like right there.
I appreciate it. I'm sure plenty of other people are gonna say, hell no, it's not. But whatever.
Like, what? Are you listening
it
to
doesn't
the
matter.
Thing
she
I'm
agreed. So I want to get into your other additional traveling that you've done. So what took you to China, or which one did you go to first? I think you said Dubai right?
First.
Yeah. So what brought you over, or took you over there to Dubai?
The inability to remain working in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me tell you about how interesting life is, right? So I'm in the U.S. I'm working in Orlando. And, you know, basically because I got a degree in the U.S., you get a year to work, which is called OPT, Optional Practical Training. So, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to get an H-1B visa. I want to stay here so badly.
Yes.
Because I'm like, you know, I don't want to go back to the Bahamas. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to, you know, settle down. I want to explore the world.
Yes, yes.
So, and for me, the world was the U.S. The world was, you know, Orlando, L.A., New York, etc.
Yeah.
And then I come back to the Bahamas for a few months, and I'm like, I'm not going to stay here. So I put in literally, Jamie, like over 1,000 applications.
Really?
And I got, like rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection. And then finally, I got like a hit saying, we want to interview, and it was like in Dubai, and I'm like, what?
Are
you sure? But yeah, and they loved me. My interview sucked. My internet went out, my phone went out, like it was like technical difficulties going even my electricity went out that day. I'm just like,
oh man.
And then the first, that was the second interview, Jamie. The first interview I actually got in at the wrong time. He's like, how is 4 p.m for you? And I'm like, 4 p.m is perfect. So I'm like, at 4 p.m. EST, sitting there like,
That's why I asked you yesterday. I was like, I want to make sure because she's talking Dubai and China. I don't know where she's at right now. Do you talk about now, like EST?
So that happened. But anyway, so that's how I got there. I basically got there because for me, in my mind, I was like, I want to stay in the U.S. But if I had had the opportunity to stay in the U.S., I would have never gone to Dubai because I was living the Bahamian American dream, right? Every disappointment for the better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if I would love to have an opportunity like that as well. I mean, who doesn't want to travel the world, man? Who doesn't? Like, something's wrong with you if you don't if you get the opportunity to do it and you don't do it, come on, man. You got to explore. Yeah. Bright, you know, broaden your horizon, open your mind up, and see a little bit of everything.
Agreed.
Everyone needs to do it eventually. So you're in, yeah, so you're in Dubai, you said, for what, 2-3 years?
3 years, yeah.
3 years. I didn't look up much about Dubai, mainly because, I mean, I know it's huge in tourism as well. I know it's got a whole lot of everything, really. They got man-made islands, man-made this, man-made that. I know that way back in, like, I think the 60s, it was still a desert. And they literally built an entire billion, probably trillion-dollar mecca city of everything you can imagine.
Yep.
But what are some of the coolest, because at that point, you've been to America, you know, born and raised in the Bahamas. What's some of the stuff that just caught your eye, like, holy crap?
Well, the first thing that caught my eye was how tall a camel actually is.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously Dubai, what I love about Dubai is that you can go to the beach and to the desert. Like, yes. I just think that that's crazy. It's crazy that, like, it's within insane. A 30-minute drive, you're like, beach? Oh, desert.
Yes.
And then there's mountains, too. Like, mm-hmm. they have the natural makeup of, well, semi-natural because of the reasons we just mentioned. Yes. The makeup of Dubai, let's not call it the natural, but the way that you have, like, beach here, mountain there, desert here, I'd, like, totally love that. Mm-hmm. Because I had traveled a bit, but I hadn't been, like, that exposed, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I love that. And then, like, with the camel, they're like, okay, Natasha, we're going to go for a camel ride. I'm like, okay, cool. Camel can't be, like, I'm thinking, like, donkey. Like, I'm thinking the height of a donkey for some reason. You know, my mind was closed. I didn't know. I just didn't know. And then we get there, and, like, the camel's back is, like,
they're huge.
Yo. How do I get up there? Like,
yeah, right.
And then he, like, fell down on his little hoofs and stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That totally makes
Thank
sense.
Thank you. Thank you for getting down.
Yeah,
yes.
I appreciate that. So, so that was cool for me. And then, like I said, when I went to Dubai, I was expecting, like, Middle Eastern everything. Mm. Like, Middle Eastern food, Middle Eastern clothes. When I went to Dubai, I didn't take any of my, like, you know, clubbing attire or any of my beach wear because I was reading articles that said, like, oh, if you're a woman, you have to wear, like, a long sleeve shirt with the longest skirt ever. So I took all of my, like, churchy clothes, my maxi dresses and stuff, and went there. And, like, the hotel that I worked at was on a beach. So I'm, like, seeing everybody with their short shorts and walking around in bikinis and all that. And I'm like, really? Really? So that was interesting just to understand that part of the culture that it's not what you think until you get there. And lastly is, like, the fact that there were so many different cultures there. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally would be, like, standing next to an Egyptian while checking in a Russian. And then, like, the Kenyan bellman is coming to collect the bags. And it's just, like, I work with 60 nationalities. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy, the culture there. And, of course, if these people are living there, that means I can go get Indian food for lunch and then authentic Indian food now, and then go get authentic Arab food for dinner and authentic German food. And you know, the best sushi ever is in Dubai. And it's just it's crazy. Okay, I lied. You're right. Probably Japan is a little bit better.
Oh, no,
better
I don't
sushi.
Know. I don't like seafood, so.
Oh, no?
No, no.
Well, when you go to Japan, make sure that you just put some sushi in your bag for me and bring it back. Mail it to the Bahamas. But yeah,
I got you there. No problem.
I love that. Oh, yeah. I love that. And then in Dubai, too, you know, like, they even celebrate with other cultures. So, like, I went to, like, Diwali Festival, which is, like, an Indian festival. And then, obviously, there's, like, different countries that had these different Arab festivals and Eid al-Fitr and all this stuff. So just, it's just culture. It's like, there's so much culture there. It's like, oh, candy for me, man.
So then what caused you to leave and go to China?
It was actually just wanting more of that specific culture, because there's not a lot of Chinese culture in Dubai, number one.
Okay.
Number two, somebody connected with me, like, through LinkedIn and was like, Natasha, we saw your profile. We think you're awesome. Would you like to move to China? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Let me try that. Because Dubai is awesome. I would go back there, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm planning to go back there because one of my friends is having a baby. So I'm planning to go back to Dubai. Definitely I'm going to visit there, hopefully stay there after this, whenever I'm able to travel again, whenever that
is. Yeah, yeah.
But that's what basically brought me to China. It was like the opportunity presented itself, and I was like, you know what? This is a culture that I haven't had that much hands-on mm-hmm. experience with. So let's try something new.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Tell me, well, how do you pronounce that area you were in? I'm not even going to try in China.
Oh, the area is called Ningxia.
Okay. I was looking into it a little bit. There's not a lot that I could find, mainly because I'm assuming it's not posted in English for me. So, yeah.
Number one, and it's super small. You can, like, I know if you Google Beijing right now, you'll be like,
I can get everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but Ningxia is like, it was one of those things where, like, I had a culture shock when I went mm-hmm. there, because being in Dubai, Dubai like kind of, you know, made me feel like everybody everywhere is going to be able to speak English. So I wouldn't have that. Yeah. So I go to China thinking like, oh yeah, Beijing, they speak English, right? Mm-hmm. This Shanghai, they speak English, right? So Ningxia is not going to be much different. Mm-hmm. Go there and like, surprise, Natasha, nobody understands you.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And it's like, it's a very, very, it's small, and it's like they're just trying to start now with tourism and stuff like that. Like they have wine, everything. They make wine there, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, they do. They're like big for Chinese wine. But yeah, so the reason you can't find it in English is because it's not a tourist destination yet, but they're trying to develop it into becoming that.
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to ask, and hopefully you can expand upon it, because it doesn't make sense to me. Is it says it's an autonomous region in China. Can you explain what that means by being autonomous?
Yes. So basically the autonomous region means that it's a Muslim state.
Okay.
It's Muslim. Yeah. So there's a few Muslim states in China and Ningxia is one of the larger ones actually. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know before I went there, like being, you know, I just don't know. So when I went to China, you know, from what I hear and what I read and what I perceive, it's going to be like so many Buddhists there, et cetera. That's what people think. But fun fact, most Chinese people are not religious at all, actually, most of them.
Yeah.
And then the people, like this area is known for having Muslim people. So they're called Hui people.
Yes.
Yeah. Hui people.
Yeah, because I was looking into it, and I kept seeing autonomous region. Autonomous. I'm like, I got it. Hopefully she knows what that is, because I don't know what that is.
It's a nice way to say Muslims.
Yeah, because even that connection, I wonder who decided to call that or use that type of word for that reason. But what you just mentioned there is that doesn't surprise me anymore, but definitely would have surprised me just the same as that it surprised you is – you know, when we read about certain countries and we're thinking it's one type of person there, right? Or one type of religion. Like you just said, you know, you're reading about China growing up and you're thinking Buddhist monks, stuff like that. Kind of how we are here in America. That's what we're seeing, right? But one of my second ever cultural interview was with a lady down in Mexico. And one of the things that caught me off guard was she says the specific city she's in Monterrey, is heavily, has a heavy Jewish culture down there. And I was like, Jewish Mexican? Like, what? And I work with a guy whose family's from Mexico. And I was like, hey, dude, have you ever heard of this? He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, are you for real? Like, I'm 30 years old. I get I'm learning stuff every day. But just like with Buddhism, you connect with China. Catholicism, you connect with basically any type of South American or Spanish culture. So to hear that, but then afterwards it makes complete sense. You know, once it's put in your face, you're like, holy shit at first. And then you're like, oh, but yeah, like, why not? Why not? You know? Cause I mean, if you think of America, it's a lot of people would argue it's mainly Christian, but it's got a little bit of everything in it. Right.
Definitely.
Same with, I'm assuming all country, like they might be mainly known for one particular religion, but guarantee there are pockets here or there spread throughout it that are centered around another religion or no religion at all. That's just the world we live in now. Everybody was able to freely travel. So, and everyone's, for the most part, you can think whatever you want to think. So it makes sense when it's put in your face. But before then, you're like, no way, you know?
Exactly. And that's why, like, that's basically why I did mind fro travel, because I have these aha moments, right? And I know how beautiful they are when you, like, realize stuff. Like, okay, this is, like, a different type of example. But this is another thing that I realized when I was in Dubai and had the opportunity to be with Muslims all day, every day. My best friend is now Muslim. And, you know, we were at the front desk at one time, and there was a guest. And the guest was really rude to me or whatever. And then, you know, he left. So then my manager comes out. He's Egyptian Muslim. And he says, Natej, is the guest gone? Did you handle it? And I said, yes. And he said, thank you. He said, thank you. Ugh. And then he's like, you know what? When I see people like this, I think Jesus is coming soon. And I'm like, I'm like, did I just convert him? I don't know. He's like, Jesus is coming through. And I'm like, do you understand what you just said? And he's like, yes, I understand. I said it. So anyway, we had like an hour long conversation about the fact that Muslims actually believe in Jesus. They just think he's a prophet rather than God.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. And I didn't know they believe in his second coming. And I was just like, no way, me too. And they're like, yeah, we have Elijah in the Bible, and we have this person in the Quran, and we have this person. This person, they're like, oh, but you know, Moses is not holy. You know? So, like, it's like things like that. Because that's what bridges culture, you know? Finding the areas where we interconnect, finding the areas where we agree, and then trying not to focus on the areas where we have difference in opinion. And if we do have a difference in opinion, respecting that.
Yes, I agree with that, because I don't believe in any religion. That's not my thing. Mm. But I've read a lot about a lot of them, right? I'm born and raised in the South, so I've been around, you know, very religious people my entire life for the most part. And my wife did a class of anthropology, which, you know, the study of people and cultures and all that kind of stuff. And so she did like a class on certain religions. And I would just listen to, hey, you know, are you going to do this one? Are you going to do that one? And I just pick her brain, and she would tell me stuff that I kind of had an idea about, but didn't exactly know. And into doing these cultural videos, that's one of the things that, like I was just mentioning in my last one, that is one of the coolest things I have found. And I'm assuming because you've literally been to other countries. So, and you've spoken to people from all over the world as well, kind of sort of how I have, but one of the coolest things is, even though we are obviously so different, you know, born on the other side of the planet, living on the other side of the planet, whatever the case is, you still have a crap ton of similarities. You know, you can still like relate on so many different levels, if not everything. That makes sense. Obviously, we grew up differently, but there's still a lot that everybody can relate to.
Definitely.
That's one of the coolest things I've found so far is again, you know, buddy over there halfway around the world. I've never met him in my life. You know what I'm saying? I've spoken to him once, but in just that speaking to him, like, we're connecting in ways that I never would have thought, you know, coming from completely different backgrounds.
Yes.
That is the coolest thing I've ever found right now in doing these. I love it.
And I love it too. Like, you know, like our like mission, for lack of a better word, in this moment aligns so much, because you're bringing culture to the forefront. You know, you're showing those similarities, and it's like, it is what people need to know and need to understand, because I think a lot of the reason why there's so many negative things happening in our world today is just because of a lack of understanding and a lack of awareness. I 110, that's my thing. Like, I totally believe that. That's why, like, you know, mindful travel is promoting humanity through cultural awareness. It's not promoting humanity through forcing people to like each other. Because I think that it'll come naturally once you understand that, you know, if there is, like, a woman in Ethiopia that's going through stress because, I don't know, her boyfriend cheated or whatever, as a Bahamian woman, as an American woman, as a Norwegian woman, you're going to have those same emotions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know how people always say, we all bleed the same color. Like, we all have emotions. We all love. There's very few people that you say, do you hate kids? Yes, I hate them. Like, I hate children, you know? If you talk to a dad, you know, like a dad from India and then a dad from Oklahoma, and you say, you know, my son just said dada the first time, they're going to both be like, exactly.
I remember that day.
Yes. Don't think that someone from, you know, Europe, South America, Africa is not going to have that same level of like, wow, that's my son. He just said dada, that same emotional moment. Connect with that. Yeah. So what, they believe in two wives and I don't. That doesn't mean that we can't connect on a deeper level. That's my spiel.
Jamie, no, I agree 100%. I agree totally on all that. Because not only that is, like, one thing I've also liked to do in not just talking to other countries and cultures and whatnot is I'm a big fan of music. I love all types of music except for country. I don't like American country. But generally, any other thing, I absolutely love for the most part. One thing I love doing, though, is like I really am a big fan of heavy metal music, right? So, and kind of in how we were talking about the religion, like or stuff like that. When you think of China, you typically will think Buddhist, right? So, growing up, when I got into more of heavier music, I always thought, okay, this is a uniquely American thing. So, growing up, you know, I started branching out and. There's a lot of heavier bands over there in the UK and Europe and all that as well. But then I think around the time when we did have a quarantine up here for the first 2 weeks, for me at least, I went like for 2 days, I was specifically trying to find a band from a country that I've never known a band from there, right? So I was able to find a Kenyan band, a Kenyan rock band. So it was great, great music. And there's a really big band from India right now that's really good. And there's a Mongolian band right now that's really good as well.
Nice.
Some from New Zealand and countries that country from like I never would have thought at the time that genre of music had grown so far out there. And so I recognize, I don't know what they're saying half the time. You know, it's a different language. But the coolest thing is I still got the basics because it's rock, right? So I still get those riffs and those vibes and drums and all that. But then you also got that little cultural twang to them. Like the Indian one has, you know, I don't remember any instruments off the top of my head, but they have that unique, like, oh, that's got a little Indian sound to it, right? And that's one of the coolest, because again, that's just like, just like anything, music is easily one of the things that, again, if you can't get out in the street and dance, something wrong with you. You got a problem.
Exactly.
You got to be able to get out.
Me and Jamie are not joining that body.
Exactly, man. So, and, you know, that's definitely another thing that music just brings everybody together, like food. Music and food, man. Music and food brings everybody together.
Yeah, if you put those two things together, it's like,
So what are, okay, so you from Bahamas to America, to Bahamas, then to China, or excuse me, to Dubai, then to China. So then what brought you back to Bahamas?
The love of a mother. The love of a daughter to her mother, which is the same across cultures, people.
Oh, I got another one for that too. Don't worry.
No, but yeah, so basically, I was in China. I was in China, guys, like literally weeks before COVID-19 broke out.
Really?
Yeah. So I had a contract and I extended the contract. Mm-hmm. And then my hotel asked me to extend again. They're like, Natasha, like, what do you want? Like, they were basically like, you know, throwing everything at me. Like, we want you to stay. But my mom runs this thing basically by herself. And she's been doing it all this time. So while I'm traveling and enjoying and meeting people, she's here. Like, basically being the only person that's running this thing. So, she's not going to say, Natasha, please come home. But you know when it's like, I wish I had a day off. And you're like...
Oh, yeah. Get that little guilt trip. That guilt trip. Oh, yeah.
You know it, baby. So basically, I was like, I'm going to settle down because when you're running something by yourself, like that means you're like front of house. You're answering emails and you're supposed to be doing the accounting and marketing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then something always falls through the cracks. So like I just got QuickBooks. We've been in business for like over 10 years and I just got QuickBooks now because she doesn't have time when you're answering the phone and going on the tour with the guests and doing all this stuff. So that's what brought me back. So right now I'm just trying to make everything better. I'm trying to take all that knowledge I got from all those five-star resorts and everything and like plug it in here so that she can live the free life that she deserves. She's worked her butt off, built this thing from scratch. So the least I can do is come in with, you know, everything that she's given me. I wouldn't have an MBA without her. You know what I mean? So for me to be like, yeah, mom, thanks for the MBA. I'm going to use it to travel the world. Sorry. I'm so sorry that you're working so hard. Here's a towel, wipe your sweat. I can't do that. Love mom too much for that. So that's why I'm here. How long will I be here? I don't know. Yeah. I'm considering this like a project kind of thing.
Okay.
It's like your goal, Natasha, is to make sure that this thing can run whether you're sitting in this chair or not. You know, like make it autonomous, because that's what real, like that's when it goes from being like an entrepreneurial venture to like a real small business, when you could like not be there and then stuff still happens.
Oh yeah. And I mean, like you said, being to all the working in all the hotels around the world and whatnot, you should easily have a few tips, a few upgrades that can do to help it bring in, you know, some other type of feels and vibes to it to help people out. Oh yeah. And like I said, whenever this stuff's over, whenever America's opened up and we can go places, I'll be calling you up. I'm a redhead, so I don't care much for the sun. But me and my son love beaches, and my wife loves the sun. So even if I'm inside, she'll sit out on the beach all day.
Listen, we have beach umbrellas for you, Jamie. I'll get you a nice big umbrella so you don't have to worry about it.
We'll be good.
Your wife can sunbathe right on the side of that umbrella. You know?
We'll be good. I do know that was one thing I would love to do is the cave diving you guys have. A lot of caves and whatnot. That's some stuff I want to do. Like that type of, I wouldn't call it extreme sport at all, but there is some danger to it. I'm definitely sure. You know, you go in the water. Because I've done snorkeling, but deep sea diving I've never done. And just going through cave systems, that just sounds cool. It just looks cool in the pictures you see.
It's scary, but it's cool.
Yeah, right? As long as no shark comes around or no Luska, I'll be okay. I don't want
no Luska. A few sharks, but they're going to be nurse sharks. They'll be like, oh, hey, make sure you stay away from the coral, buddy. That's all they're going to say.
Yeah. Well, man, this has been really, really fun. I've had a good time with this one. Is there anything, Natasha, you want to say to everybody, like you have your mind for travel, we've thrown it up. If there's any other thing you want people to know about you, where to find you, you know, plug your mom's site or travel site as well. For I'm sure there are countries that are able to travel right now, just not mine. So if you're out there, you're listening, you're able to travel, you want to go to the Bahamas, here we go. Go ahead and take over.
All righty, so first of all, I just want to say thank you, Jamie, for allowing me the opportunity to be here. This felt like, I feel like I've known you since I was like 7, like honestly.
Like I said, it's sometimes like that. Never known each other before today, before yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah.
But still, there's that connection always.
There's that connection. Exactly. A complete connection across whatever, culture, doesn't matter. So just a final word, people. Like you heard all the things that me and Jamie were talking about today. And I think that this is such an important conversation just to let people know that, you know, you don't have to feel like, you know, you don't know enough about this culture to learn about it, or you don't know enough about this culture to interact, but look into, you know, expanding your horizons. I love travel. I'm a big time, you know, like I'm a travel junkie, and I'm always telling people to go step outside of your comfort zone and travel. Because travel is so much deeper than the Eiffel Tower. Like, there is so much more to travel than the Instagram shot. You know what I mean? So do that. And, you know, listen to all of the wonderful gems that Jamie dropped earlier about him talking to people from wherever they are and how they're able to connect. So that's my final word on that. Now for the plugs. Mindfro Travel, please feel free to get in touch on IG or Facebook at MindFroTravel. If you're wondering, that fro is F-R-O, like my hair, usually, not today, because it's twisted, but MindFroTravel. And then if you wanted to come to the Bahamas, if you wanted to see the swimming pigs, if you wanted to have a vacation, let's do it. Come on down to StanielKeyVacations.com. That's StanielKeyVacations with an S.com. Our company name is 3Ns Vacation Services. So we do hospitality from getting you married off to hub accommodations, definitely doing the swimming pigs tours and golf cart rentals. You name it, we've got it. And we would love to have you. As a matter of fact, we have a promo going on right now, 21% off in 2020. So go get that deal. It ends September 30th. And that's my plugs. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure.
It has been wonderful. Yes, I agree. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Everybody, you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.